I'm Marco Werman, and it's The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. I live in Cambridge, just across the river from our studios here in Boston, and I really like it there. Not too unusual. People often become emotionally attached to their hometowns. But would you still feel that way if your town became a radioactive no-go zone? Photographer Jake Price found that, yes, some people actually do. Price has traveled many times to the exclusion zone around the crippled Fukushima nuclear plant in Japan. And on a couple of recent trips, he visited the abandoned town of Odaka.
Last summer, I was on the last day of a shooting trip, and I was pulling out of a station that was totally abandoned. And there's many stations that are abandoned in Fukushima.
A train station.
A train station, correct. And I saw this tricycle and a bicycle for a 12-year-old or 10-year-old. And then I also saw an older bicycle. So there was basically a family of bicycles. And that image just stayed in my mind. I had to get it, but it was the last day and we were pulling out. So I came back to New York and this image of these bicycles just stayed with me. So I managed to build a trip around that and fly back in late November. And I went directly to the train station and photographed these bicycles. After I had photographed these bicycles, I started walking around the town a little bit. And I saw this woman just kind of in the middle of nowhere. And she had a watering can. To give you the scene of what Odaka is like, there was some birds, some wind, dry grass blowing in the late November wind. And in the middle of all of this, there was a woman with the watering can, and I just wanted to know what she was doing. What was she up to?
And nobody else in the town. Again, this is an empty town.
There was nobody in the town. People are allowed to go during daylight hours, and so there are frequently, or infrequently, I should say, you know, people passing by. But she was really the only one there that day.
What's her name?
And her name is Tomoko Kobayashi.
And does she live in Odaka, or does she go there every day to just kind of sit vigil?
Yeah, she goes there to sit vigil. And more than sitting vigil, she goes there to water plants. What's going on in Fukushima is really a borderline between the natural world and civilization. And the natural world is encroaching on the place that she loved, and she has so many memories there. So her idea was, in order to protect her memories, she wanted to start planting flowers. So she started off with just a little plot across from the train station where she used to play as a child. And as the idea grew, she basically planted the whole street that leads from the train station into the rest of town, which passes by an old hotel that she owns and has been in her family for four generations. So she really feels that she wants to keep this place.
It's really amazing watching the video you made of her. It's like a Miyazaki anime come to life, this woman waiting on the veranda of her guest house in the center of town, waiting maybe for something to happen, maybe somebody to come by, and all you hear are crickets. Why is she there? What did she say?
She really stays there because she wants to preserve this town. And as I understand it, in 2016, people will be able to move back there again. She doesn't know if anybody will move back there, but if there's a possibility of that, then she wants to pave the road for that to happen.
I mean, I was in Fukushima 3 months after the quake. I didn't go to the nuclear plant, but no one I met, even inside what was then the exclusion zone, had protective gear. There was also a lot of kind of misunderstanding about Geiger counters, how they worked and how to read them, and there was no potassium iodine available in case anyone contracted radiation sickness. How did you cope when you were there all these multiple times, and how are Japanese coping?
From a personal point of view, you know, I've gone into the bordering town of Namie, which is that is in the exclusion zone, and I have to work very quickly. I do have a Geiger counter with me. I don't wear a protective suit or any of that kind of thing because if I run into residents, I don't want to shock them or feel like I'm in danger, especially if they weren't wearing the same thing. From what I've been told, the radiation is a problem over the long term, but a lot of the places that I've been going, even though the levels have been very high, they haven't been terribly dangerous within the amount of time that I was there. That said, I don't want to stick around that long just because it is quite frightening.
Jake, finally, I mean, once you leave the Fukushima prefecture and you get back down to Tokyo, what is Tokyo? How do they perceive Fukushima these days? Is it just kind of a place nobody wants to talk about, or how do they feel about it?
Yeah, I think that Fukushima and the tsunami coast in general has been forgotten. And I think that it's not only Tokyo, but it's the world. And I see this with disasters in many different places, where about a month after a disaster strikes, people think that's it and it's over. But for the people who live there, it's not over. And I think that what I've found is a lot of full life, actually. You wouldn't expect it, but people really care for their land. And a big focus of why I keep going back over the long term is that they really love and are attached to this place, and there is a reason. There are 1,600-year-old Buddhas there that are going to fall into ruin if they don't protect them. And I think that a lot of people in Tokyo and the rest of the world don't understand that. So there is a big impetus, I think, for people who really know the land and love the land to stay there.
Photographer Jake Price, his work is part of the New York Film Festival and will be presented at Lincoln Center in New York this Sunday. Jake, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.
And you can see the video Jake Price made of Tomoko Kobayashi, that lone woman, in Odaka at PRI.org.